Today is a joyful birthday celebration. A birthday is always an occasion of joy. I don't have to explain that. I'd like to say a few words about the liturgical perspective of this feast, and then something about life before birth, and then something about John's life after birth. First, about the liturgy. Yes, every birthday is an occasion of celebration. At least, I say, I don't have to explain it, because in the Philippines that's still well understood. But we do live in an upside-down world, and there are a lot of places where there's a demand that abortion should be a legal option for people, and birth isn't necessarily a good thing. Although nowadays, because birth rates are plummeting in almost every country and are below replacement level, now people are starting to say, well, maybe birth is a good thing after all. Seems that only in some African countries they still have a normal understanding of marriage and family life. But anyway, birth is an occasion for great joy. And the liturgical birthdays, first of all, Christmas Day, birth of Jesus Christ. Then there's this one, John the Baptist. Then there's September 8th, the Blessed Mother. And in the Philippines, the feast of the birth of the Blessed Mother is much more popular than this feast. If you go to a mass on September 8th, you're likely to find people with birthday cakes and people singing happy birthday, and that's beautiful. But you might notice that the Filipino religiosity has a different emphasis than the liturgy, because in the liturgy, this is a bigger feast day than the birthday of Mary. This is a solemnity, highest rank, like a Sunday. Birth of Mary is ranked as a feast day, one step below. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is because it could be puzzling. Clearly, the Blessed Virgin Mary is more important in the God's plan of salvation than John the Baptist, although both of them are very significant figures. But certainly Mary is more important because she's the mother. So why is the feast of her birthday lower ranking than the birthday of John the Baptist? Well, it has to do with the development of the liturgy, and also because it has to do with how God himself revealed these mysteries. The birth of Jesus was celebrated with choirs of angels, and that was a heavenly celebration for sure. The birth of the Virgin Mary, there's no record of her birth or her childhood. She doesn't appear in the scriptures, at least in person. Prophetically, yes, but in person, she appears only when she receives the Annunciation. So she is a secret, and God kept her secret. But John the Baptist, his birth was not a secret. And his coming was prepared prophetically very clearly. The people knew that a messenger would come before the Lord, that a new Elijah would come. And John's birth was announced even before he was conceived. And there's the scripture passages, Luke chapter 1, has a lot of verses about John the Baptist's conception and birth and naming. So the scriptures make a big deal out of the birth of John the Baptist, and so does the liturgy. Of course, Mary, we celebrate with solemnity her immaculate conception. We don't have any feast like that for John. So that's the liturgical perspective. This is a solemnity, so we treat it with very great joy and prominence. Now let's reflect a little bit about this idea of life before birth. Everyone knows that birth is the threshold that we mark as the beginning of life, but we also know that human life begins before we cross that threshold. Everybody knows it. The story of John the Baptist brings this truth before our eyes, that John was called before he was born. And it's clear from the scriptures how much emphasis there is on life in the womb. The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb. He gave me my name. That's the prophetic message in the passage from Isaiah. He had a name before he was born. And in fact, he had a name before he was conceived, because that name was given to his father in the temple. But the celebration here is not only of John's birth, but of his prophetic calling from before his birth. This today's psalm is a beautiful reflection on that, not just for John, but for everyone, that God knows us, understands us, probes us, calls us while we're still in the womb. He forms us. He knits us together in our mother's womb. So this awareness of the dignity of human life in the womb is really, really important, because it's so often neglected or even attacked in modern times. John, as we know, received the Holy Spirit when he was still in the womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was still in the womb. He was at 6 months gestational age. So most people would say that's before viability in those days, for sure. But even now, a child of 6 months can almost certainly not live outside the womb, although there's some very unusual cases. But so this is a fetus filled with the Holy Spirit, leaping for joy at the arrival of the Messiah. A fetus already celebrating or already fulfilling his prophetic mission. Yes, life begins before birth. And that's how God has designed us, and that's how God has revealed how human life unfolds. Now, we can go back further, of course, even before conception, God knows us. Even before any creation, God already knew us, he knew our name. But human life, in time, begins with conception. Let's go on to post-birth, because in John's case, the mention of his birth is very short. He was born, Elizabeth had a son, her neighbors and relatives rejoiced with her. That was the only mention of the birth, the actual birth. But then there's a big emphasis on the eighth day when he receives his name, John, when he officially receives his name. He already had a name. God knew his name, Zechariah knew the name, Elizabeth knew the name, but no one else knew about it until it was announced here. But after that, as everybody's wondering, well, who is this child going to be? Or what's the special place of this child? If they say it's clear that the hand of the Lord was on this child from before he was born, but then he disappears. He disappears in the desert. He grows in obscurity. And maybe people were wondering about him, but he didn't do anything or say anything until he started his public ministry years later, probably about 30 years later. We don't know exactly. But this is also part of human life, right? There's a lot of time in secret. There's a lot of time given to preparation. There's a lot of time that the world doesn't pay any attention to. As I was reflecting on this and thinking about how in modern times there's no tolerance for preparation time, there's no patience for things growing in secret or growing in hidden ways. And the example that came to my mind was, I remember when PhilInvest was being developed years ago, I used to pass through there on my way back and forth to school sometimes. And you know those boulevards with those big trees, I don't know if they're date trees or whatever they are, but those trees weren't there before. And then one day, about 25 trees appeared, like big trees, 30-foot tall trees. They just appeared in the boulevard of the street. Of course, they were planted there as whole trees because the developers of that place, the PhilInvest, they wanted to have a tree-lined boulevard. So they didn't plant trees and wait for them to grow. They took trees from someplace else and planted them there, whole trees. The classic modern way of thinking, if we want a tree, we put a whole tree there. That's not usually how God works. God could do that, of course. He can create anything out of nothing at any time. But he doesn't usually do it like that. He usually unfolds his plan gradually through time and usually in secret. That's a big part of John the Baptist. He has a mission from the womb. He starts the mission in the womb, but then he's silent for another 30 years. Jesus does the same, right? His birth is announced with joyful angel choirs singing, and there's the Magi coming from the east, and there's a lot of, at least some people, noticing that the Messiah has come. And then he disappears almost completely. Well, that's how God works. And the reason I emphasize this is because this is a lot of our own life as well. Yes, we're called by God from the womb. Our name is known by God before we're born. Our birth is an occasion of great joy, and we should celebrate birthdays. But the rest of the time is mostly hidden. God working in secret, God working in preparation, God doing great things that the world doesn't notice. And that's part of what we celebrate as well on this feast day. We celebrate how God's plan unfolds in time. God, who's outside of time and can do anything he wants, he likes to work with a gradually unfolding plan. And that's what we celebrate. So let us welcome the prophetic mission, the announcement and the gift of life, but then let us also celebrate how life really unfolds day to day with grateful hearts, with hearts full of hope, with confidence in God.